And at last I say yes, Lord, and amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, and amen. We're in agreement. We establish that truth in our lives tonight, acknowledging your lordship, acknowledging, oh God, that you are sovereign, King of kings and Lord of lords, the creator of the universe, our all in all. Lord, we surrender our lives to you. We pray, oh God, tonight that in those areas of our lives where this truth is not established, Lord, oh God, that in your loving kindness and your tender mercies, that Lord, oh God, that you will bring us to that place where we surrender all and acknowledge that you are the first and the last. Yes and amen. Speak to us tonight. Reveal your truth to us tonight. Help us, O God, come into true awareness of who you are and who we are in you. And from that position of strength, put the enemy of our souls where he belongs, under our feet. Crush him and cause the enemy to surrender, as it says in confession, Jesus is Lord. This we declare. This we say. This we testify of. In Jesus' mighty name. So it is. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, oh God, for the one that needs healing tonight, we declare healing. Rise and be healed in the name of the Lord. Let the presence of the evil one be cut off. Let the presence of the enemy be shut down immediately. No enchantments prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. The spirit of death is rebuked. The Lord rebukes you. And we stay in safety, knowing, O God, that your hand has kept us, protect us, shield us from the evil. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Lord, that the arrows of the night and the arrows of the day have failed. Your shield protects. And we thank you, Father, that you are the avenger of your people. So now we declare, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus, a return of fire on the enemy and the positions of the enemy. Fire of the living God strikes at your heart and takes you out. In Jesus' mighty name, we decree it so. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. All right. Yes, he is good all the time. We are in the book of Proverbs, the 17th chapter. And I believe we came as far as the 7th verse last week. But I see verse 4 on the screen, and I think it's related somewhat on to verse 7. Verse 4 says, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. A person who is wicked, a person who has evil intentions, is always listening for some information to help him or her accomplish his wicked desire. That is something that we have to be conversant of. A person who does not like you is always going to dig up stuff so that he can or she can blackmail you or tear you down. Crappy people are people who listen to false lips. Now, the very fact that the Word of God says, once again, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips or to a liar, is that he or she does not care whether it's the truth or a lie. That's not the point. The point is, I need to tear this person down. I need to do the wicked thing. So whether it is true or false makes no difference. And if that's the case, you trying to defend yourself before a wicked doer and say, that's not true, does not change anything. You need God to fight for you. You need justice. You need God to intervene. And sometimes we think if we have a good argument and if we have all kinds of witnesses, that changes something. The agenda of the wicked doer is not necessarily that they hurt you by putting you in jail, but to scandalize your name. They say a lie will go around the world several times before the truth even wakes up from bed. How many people, you know, sometimes the press might put out something, boom, out there in bold letters about somebody. They find out that it's not true and they do a reprint or a withdrawal of the statement that they made before. And you have to look all over the place because it's in very fine print. You have to really, really be looking for it. But meanwhile, the person has been scandalized. You just, this person, blah, blah, blah. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. And a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. A liar. In essence, that wicked doer who is listening for something to say about somebody else is exactly the same thing. If you listen to gossip, if you listen to gossip, be aware that you are being gossiped about also by the person who is sharing gossip with you. It's just the way it is. You're always listening for gossip. You are part of the story. Before you know it, you have been scandalized all over the place. So it's of utmost importance to stay away from that spirit because it contaminates. You get defiled by it. The fact is, gossip is juicy. If you're listening to something that wants to tear somebody else down, you don't have any confidence or sense of security in who you are. That's why. Because if you know who you are and you know what your purpose is, you don't spend your time, you don't waste your time trying to listen to stuff like that, because you've got too much on your plate to do. You've got too much on your plate. Stuff that you need to get done for you to waste your time listening to gossip, listening to lies. But unfortunately, so many people do not know who they are. They are very unaware of who they are as individuals under the economy of God's divine purpose. They are very unaware. They don't know who they are. And because they do not know who they are, they try to see other people turn down to make themselves feel good. If somebody else has to be turned down so you can feel good, sorry. You're in a very messed up place. You're in a very messed up. Your life is so messed up. That's a sorry case. People who want to experience God to his fullness are not looking for the downfall of another. They're looking for the elevation, the uplifting of other people. Because when people are lifted up, true celebration takes place. You celebrate. But if somebody is celebrating and you are sad that they are making it, sorry, you will give your ear to the naughty tongue. Blessed people are happy people. Not just happy about what is happening in their lives, they are happy for what's happening in other people's lives. So the word of God says, rejoice with those who are rejoicing, weep with those that are weeping. Because you see yourself as part of them, you're connected. The Lord will put it this way, do unto others as you want them to do to you. Be a good neighbor. If you don't want bad things in your life, then don't sow them. And if you didn't sow it, don't water it. If you're planting bad stuff and watering bad stuff, you're part of the problem. Verse 5 again says, whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. If you're mocking poor people, you are standing in confrontation against God. And he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. That's basically what I just said. You're not going to be unpunished if you are celebrating other people's calamities. This is not a Christian thing or a Christian word. It's from a different faith. They call it karma. Because it's a spiritual truth. You sow it, you're going to reap it. You sow it, you're going to reap it. Now, that is not to say that everything that you are living out is based on something that you sowed, because bad things happen to good people. But the difference is this, that even when bad things happen to good people, the enemy is not able to take them out. They live through it. They walk through that valley of the shadow of death. They come out on the other side. You know, something I learned is that people carry scars. People carry scars. They get wounded. And the scar is about the healing of a wound. However, this is also true, that scars do not grow. Scars don't grow. Scars remain the same size as they were when they were formed. So if you had a scar, if you had a scar, ...20 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, that scar will remain the same size while you're growing. You'll grow and the scar will remain the same size. Scars don't grow. Now, tattoos grow. If you had a tattoo, it will grow with you. As you grow, the tattoo will be stretching and it becomes deformed. What used to be an eagle becomes something else. Scars interesting enough, seem to be permanent. You can see them. You can feel it. You know that something happened at a particular time and how you got it. Even though it is part of your story, it no longer defines you. It no longer defines you. So, Pastor, what does that have to do with what you've just read? Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. And he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. Well, on the surface, it doesn't look like we're talking about the same thing. But if you look deeper, you find out that the Lord Jesus Christ said, the poor will always be amongst you. What is the purpose and the allowance for poverty? It is for us to manifest a very special aspect of who God is. And that is the aspect of care, of love, of supply. of bringing hope and strength, life. So when God talks about the anointing, when the Lord Jesus Christ talks about the anointing, he says, the Spirit of God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The first miracle that he performed was the miracle of turning water into wine, but deeper than that is that he broke the backbone of lack. The first miracle Jesus did was to shatter the stronghold of lack. There was lack, he came and resolved it. Turned it around. And so when he says, when you mock the poor, you are reproaching his maker. You are going against his maker. He's saying something to you. That when you don't mock the poor, you are on the side of God. And what does God do? God brings healing. God brings restoration. So when we see poverty, we bring wholeness. We bring provision. On Sunday, I'll be showing some pictures from the last mission trip. We're able to set two families free from slavery. But we did more than just getting them out. We bought something for them that will help them stay out. Now, that's important. We give them something that will help them stay out. What got them into that place of slavery? Debt. They went to work for somebody, and while they were working with that person, they had a financial need, and they approached their boss and said, "Boss, my wife is pregnant. The doctor says blah, blah, blah. I don't have enough money to pay for the hospital bill. Can I borrow some money?" "Sure, yeah, $5. Yeah, $50, $100. Now you have the baby, but your pay is still not covering all the bills. Baby needs milk. You need milk for a baby. Here, another $10. You're trying to pay it off, you can't. So now you're there for a year, 2 years, 10 years, 40 years, 50 years. Your children are there trying to help you work the bill out, but it's getting bigger and bigger. Debt kept them into slavery because they have to pay. So now you come and you pay their bills off. Did that stop the problems that brought them into the place? No. They need to make money so that they don't have to be in debt anymore. Because two things have happened here. If they've learned, one, borrowing got me into slavery. If they learned that lesson, then they will not go borrowing. But people have been programmed in their thinking. So what do we do when we're mocking? You don't provide a way out, and you don't teach a way out. That man doesn't just need a vehicle, he needs somebody who will teach him how not to borrow. Need somebody to help him learn patience and learn not to desire quick, fast, whatever, to solve this. Somebody to help him learn how to trust God and recognize that God has 1 billion trillion ways of ministering to their need. Give you an example. There's a prophet. He's running for his life. And while he's running, a bird called a raven brings food to him in the morning and in the evening. A raven, an unclean bird, is bringing food. A raven that doesn't care for its little ones, that's self-centered. A raven, scavenger, is bringing food to a prophet. Wow. Yeah. God provides for people in unlikely ways, in ways that you cannot fathom in your natural mind. A prophet will not be expecting a raven to bring him food. And the lesson is, God will provide for you, and you don't know how he is going to do it. And you need to learn that lesson. You need to learn that. I have a need. God will not mock me. God hates lack in my life. I don't know how he's going to resolve this problem, but some way, somehow, he's going to do it. I trust in you. I need to teach somebody that. That life is not about fast food, quick. No, sometimes you got to be patient. Sometimes you got to wait. It is those who wait on the Lord whose strength gets renewed. When I don't teach the word of God, I am mocking the poor. Why do I spend my time sharing the word of God? Your poverty might not be finances, it might be spiritual awareness. And if I don't spend my time to break the word of God down, to share what God's word is saying, so that you grow in yourself and outgrow your scar, then you stay stunted. Your scar doesn't grow and you don't grow. You're just the same. That means you stunted. The story must change. You cannot keep people in bondage. I cannot sit down here and say, if I tell them what the truth is, they will not depend on me anymore. Really? If your position is people depending on you, stunted, not growing, then you're not just a witch, you're a Satanist. It must be the quest of every man or woman of God to cause those that they are reaching out to grow. Tell them what they need to do to grow. If you know what can help me be better, and you're not sharing it with me, you're wicked. That's what that is. Wickedness. If I know what will be a solution, I must share it so that you can be free. If not, you know better than the sorcerers of the world. You know, there are things that can help people experience not just a healing, but a cure that people are aware of. Maybe it's in the pharmaceuticals. They know there is a way to cure a problem. There's a cure. But they give you something that just treats the symptoms but doesn't cure you, because they want you to keep on coming to buy their meds. But if they cure you, that means this, that line of income is gone. So I'm not going to tell you. That's wickedness. That's sorcery. And that cannot be something that operates within us as God's people, as the church of God. We're different. We're called to be different. Amen? Hallelujah. And God says, if you're celebrating the downfall and the pain of other people, you will not be unpunished. That what you're sowing, it's going to come back to you. It's going to come bite. And it's going to bite hard. We need God's solutions. Amen? Hallelujah. Now let me go straight to the verse that we need to be looking at today. It says, excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. In other words, excellent speech is not expected of fools. And much less do lying lips a prince. Lying lips is not expected of princes. Princes are not supposed to lie. And fools don't expect excellent speech from them. People are going to be what they're supposed to be. Now, let's explore that thought a moment. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. The twist of language there gives us two aspects. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. One aspect is this, that excellent speech does not become foolish. Okay? Excellent speech does not become foolish. That's one phase. In essence, if you start in from the premise of goodness, it's not meant to become bad. But the flip side of that statement is, excellent speech does not come out of foolish people. So, if you want excellence, you got to stop foolishness. Foolishness is connected to ignorance. foolishness is connected to godlessness. Word of God says, it is the fool who says in his heart, there's no God. So when you act in a godless way, excellent speech is not going to come out of your mouth. You will not build anybody up. You will not say to somebody who is weak, listen, child of God, you are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You will confirm his weakness. You will confirm his defeat. You will confirm his failures because you have nothing to offer him or her. And the reason you don't have anything to offer that person is because you don't have a heart to offer anything. You know, it's like someone may ask you, how are you doing today? But they're asking that question not because they want you to answer them. They're just being polite or something, but they really don't want to hear about your long stories about, you know, all the bad things that are happening to you. Don't want to hear nothing. They just want to pretend to be nice. So they ask, is everything okay? Well, everything is okay. If they have a wicked spirit, they might be thinking, everything is okay. Everything is not okay with me. Let's make him just look like me. I'll give you a bad day. I'll talk about you. I'll lie about you so that everything is not okay with you. I'll trip you. I'll give you wrong information so that you mess up and you get fired. Because you have the audacity to tell me that everything is okay, that you are blessed and highly favored. Really? You're blessed and highly favored, right? Okay, let's see how blessed and highly favored you are. When you don't have God, you don't want to hear even the nice thing that's coming out of somebody's mouth. Now talk about, oh, everything is not okay with me. I have this problem, I have that problem, and my wife this, my children that, my finances this, blah, 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 blah. Oh my goodness. What brought me here to ask this person this question? Now they're talking my ears and my legs and my everything off. My goodness, what kind of a person is this? Meanwhile, they're celebrating it. At least my life is better than his. Excellent speech does not come out of the mouth of a fool. Because our fool is godless. And the flip side says, much less do lying lips a prince. A prince should not have lying lips. A prince should not hear lying lips. A prince should connect with wholeness, with elevation, bringing peace and hope to others. A prince cares about other people, what's happening to them. A prince wants to be a blessing. Why? He knows who he is. He's the prince. Do you know that? That you are a child of God, loved of God, that He is your good shepherd, the God who will cause you to lack nothing? If that's the case, then as a prince, you don't live in a world of worries. You don't live in a world of fears. You don't live in a world of doubt. You just want the best. Because you've got what it takes. True believers have a sense that they are blessed to be a blessing. And therefore, the lying lips that says that somebody else is not going to make it, they don't buy into that. They're looking for solutions. How can I help you be the best version of you? I had a call this morning. I called somebody and I said, I'd like to help you be what God says you should be, but you're not positioning yourself to be that. What is the problem? And how can we solve it? I see you here, but for you to be here, you need to position yourself properly so that you can move from here to there. But you're way out over here. If I try to put you here from there, you will not be able to stay there. You need to move here so you can get here. So why aren't you here? Says, I'm wanting to be here, but I have this. Now that gives me a prayer point. Now I know how best to pray for that person so they can position themselves properly to get to the place where they ought to be. When you're a prince and you know who you are, you also know who and what you are not. Let me say that again. When you're a prince and you know who you are, you also know who and what you're not. A lot of people are not able to help other people because if they help other people, they think those other people may be better than them, and therefore, I'm not going to give you any information because you might get better than me. In the natural systems of things, that is true. But in the realm of the spirit, when you're in connection with God, you find out that the more you give away, the more comes back to you. In my quest to teach the Word of God, I get to know more of the Word of God. Yes, others may benefit from what they know and what I now have brought into their lives. Now they know more. But if I don't know who I am, I'm going to think, now that they know more, I am less. causing no more. But that's a fallacy. That's false. God elevates you when he sees that you are scattering abroad the seed. He helps you become greater. Jesus, our Lord, put it this way. He said, you want to be the greater one? Then be the servant. Huh? Yeah, he says, be the servant. That's how you get greater. A prince does not listen to the lies of the enemy. You were born a prince. The one over there that was not born a prince would never become a prince. You can only become a prince because you were born into it. And when you know who you are, you recognize, I will never become less. I will only increase. So my first desire is to be a blessing, because I know I am blessed of the Lord. I am highly favored. And if that's who I am, then I'll become a blessing, and I will highly favor other people so that they too can rise. But as they're rising, I am rising also. Many years ago, something happened here, just out there. A dear daughter in this house, dear woman of God, it was Esmeralda Clark, called her sister Esme. She was in a wheelchair, one of these electrical wheelchairs. And she was in a foyer over there. I was in my office. While in my office, praying for the service, I saw some demonic forces was coming through, and I went into a battle with them. I went after them, went after every single one of them. I defeated them. And all of a sudden, on my door, Pastor, Pastor, who is it coming? What's wrong? Sister Esme. I said, Sister Esme, what? Sister Esme, she's falling down the stairs. I said, how can Sister Esme fall down the stairs? She's in a wheelchair. So I come down, and sure enough, Sister Esme, for whatever reason, powered her wheelchair and was heading down the stairs, down the foyer, to the stairs that lead to the basement. Marble, marble. There was Pastor Paul, saw her, dashed after her, grabbed the wheelchair. But she still tumbled over. But it's a good thing, if she had tumbled with the wheelchair would have just, the weight of it, just crushed her. Anyway, she's down the stairs. She has a cot. I come down. I see Sister Deaconess Sherry and some other sisters and brothers over her, praying for her. I listened to how they were praying, and I walked away. I went and I called for the ambulance to come. Why did I tell you that story? They had heard the word of God, and they knew exactly how to pray. I wouldn't have prayed any different. And that change was brought about by the very fact that they had been trained. They've been taught the word of God. You know what? I walked out of that situation that day, recognizing this. These people have heard enough of the word of God that if I were in trouble, they know exactly how to get me out of that trouble because they have been trained. They've been taught. So in blessing others, I got blessed. Because it's not every time that I'm going to be here and there and so on and so forth. It takes people who have been groomed in the wisdom of God, who have come to their place in God, to know what they ought to do. We all grow together. You help yourself when you share truth. At one point, I was very concerned about this particular aspect. I said, Lord, if I teach people what I know and just part everything, am I really helping them? If they know stuff and they still do the wrong thing and so on and so forth, but they know how to get out of it. I said, what good is that? He said, son, just teach my word. Everybody has the capacity to hear. And those that don't need the information will not hear it. Those that need particular information will hear it. The ones that don't need it will not hear it. So just teach. So that's fundamental aspect of that. You just teach the word of God. Today I've been teaching. If I ask every one of you what you heard, you'd be amazed how different the responses will be. Sometimes you're hearing things that I did not even say. I never said it. You can listen to the tape from the beginning to the end, and I did not make a particular statement, but you heard that statement. On Sunday will be the day of Pentecost. The Bible says the disciples in the upper room were speaking in tongues. And the different tribes and races and communities heard the word in their own language. Do you think the 120 went to this group and went to that 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 group and they started speaking in the tongues of that particular group where they were? They were speaking one tongue and everybody was hearing what they needed to hear in their own language. So to wrap this up for tonight, I want you to know that God is saying to us, know who you are. Know who you are not. Be a blessing. Come in alignment with God. And don't be going against God's will. Help people become the best version of themselves. That's in a nutshell. Not living a lie, not being godless, not walking in defeat, not walking unaware of who you are in Him. And that's a good thing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the word of life and for the transformation that takes place when we seek you, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Lord, today, I pray for your sons and your daughters that we'll all grow. I pray, Lord, O God, that you fight the battles that need to be fought on our behalf. And grant us the victory that's only possible in your loving kindness and tender mercies. We rest ourselves in your love as we say yes to your word. And we say no to all satanic agendas. Be glorified, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I want to seize this opportunity to say thank you to, once again, everyone that gave of themselves to support the last mission trip. I want to thank you all for making it a success. Whatever it is that we needed, God made possible. So the lesson I'm learning and growing in, you need 50,000 and all you had was 25, and God will make it possible that the 25 does what the 50 supposed to do, and you still have extra. That's my testimony. God did everything that expected them, was believing Him to do, and there were still fragments. Blessed be the name of the living God. Thank you for praying. Thank you for giving. Thank you for your support. Thank you, because today somebody is celebrating a new life because of the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of His people. And thank you for those of you that just blessed me personally on my birthday. You know, you sowed into my life. The Lord bless you greatly for your giving. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. And the numbers or the ways that you can give I believe will be shown to you. Just follow those promptings and honor God. And this time I'll say good night to those that are on YouTube and Facebook and other platforms. Friday is our prayer meeting.